Harold Wilson once said, "A week is a long time in politics." No statement is a truer reflection on the hypersonic nature of British politics, especially since 2016. Cameron, May, Johnson, Truss, Sunak, and now Starmer. Another name added to a pile of incomplete premierships. I'm Harrison, URY's old head of news, and today I'm going to be bringing you some commentary from the current news team, all on Keir Starmer's resignation. What does it mean for the country going forward? What will his legacy be? Did he achieve much? And let's look ahead to a future Andy Burnham premiership. Will he be materially different from the current Starmer regime? All this and more coming up on this special episode from the news team. But first, let us begin by reminding ourselves of what Keir Starmer said on his first speech as Prime Minister less than
My
2 years
government
ago on the
will
5th of
serve.
July 2024.
Politics can be a force for good. We will show that. We've changed the Labour Party, returned it to service, and that is how we will govern. Country first, party second.
That was the first speech Keir Starmer made as Prime Minister on the steps of Downing Street after the 2024 general election victory. He won the second largest majority ever achieved by a Labour leader, just shy of Tony Blair's 179 seat majority in 1997. Starmer was elected with 34% of the vote. And this is what he had to say last week, the 22nd of June, which coincidentally is nearly 10 years to the day after the Brexit referendum 2016.
But I know the question being asked now is not who was best placed to change the Labour Party, to take us into power and to begin the vital work of improving lives for millions of people. Those questions have been answered. The question my party is asking now is whether I am best placed to lead us into the next general election. I have heard the answer of my parliamentary party to that question, and I accept that answer with good grace. Every decision I've taken has been about putting the country I love first. That is why I will resign as leader of the Labour Party. I have spoken to His Majesty the King this morning to inform him of my decision.
After Keir Starmer announced his resignation, I caught up with several members of the news team to find out their instant reaction to the news. So first up, here is Luna, our deputy head of news.
I am sitting on Madeira next to the beautiful blue Atlantic Ocean, and yet all I can think about is Keir Starmer. So, Keir Starmer, he's finally resigned. This is it's a little shocking. I mean, everyone expected him to resign at some point, but to resign now, in the wake of Andy Burnham challenging him for leadership, it's a little surprising. I thought he'd at least try and fight back, maintain control over his party, but I suppose that's not what's happened. So, what is next for the country? What will happen to the government? Will this change the way the polls are going? Will this change how people vote? Will this change much at all? Will anything change? Will we just get more of the same with Andy Burnham? Who knows? This is it's certainly a surprise, and I'm looking forward to seeing what's happened next. It's very, very unknown. And yeah, but one thing's for certain, and that's the endless talks about Keir Starmer resigning will finally be over. We can finally talk about something else every single week on NewsHour. Thank you.
That was Luna, the deputy head of news. And don't forget, as Luna said, you can listen to NewsHour in turn time every Tuesday from 7 p.m. And she's quite right. The main topic of discussion on NewsHour recently has been whether Keir Starmer will resign at some point this year, probably after the Gorton and Denton by-election, I think, it became a question of when rather than if. And I caught up with Will, the host, the co-host of Brainwaves, to reflect upon these exact currents of political thought. So here is Will with his take on the Starmer resignation.
Well, in my view, Starmer's resignation was quite a long time coming. I think there was a feeling among his camp they didn't want to have him resign just because of the whole, you know, many resignations of the Conservatives before them. So he wanted to kind of project this image of stability, at least into the next election. But he hemorrhaged so much of his popularity that I don't think there was any way he could have stayed on for the rest of his premiership. I don't think he's going to be looked upon particularly favourably. Too much, I'd say, trying to curry favour with political movements that were never going to like him. So much, anti-immigrant and especially anti-trans rhetoric to try and appease, the right wingers, especially on reform, when they were never going to like him anyway, because the view of him has always been as a left-wing politician. But because of that, that was then going to annoy the left of the party, which is where the majority of their base was going to come from. And, when both sides of the aisle hate you equally, you're not going to hang on for very long. I never really understood why he felt the need to do that. He had a very, very good mandate. I've heard a lot of people say that the 2024 election wasn't a victory for Starmer. It was a loss for the Conservatives in so much as they just didn't want the Tories in again. And while I certainly understand that point of view, he still had enough MPs to do what he said he was going to do. Like, if you were to look at his leadership promises when he was running for leadership and compare it to what he's done, it's so incredibly different that I don't think you could ever sort of consider him to have been a prime minister of any great quality. In terms of Burnham, I want to remain hopeful because I've been a very big fan of the stuff he's done for Manchester, particularly with the B Network, his support of, the nighttime economy, stuff like that. But again, I'm seeing a lot of rightward shifting from him again, Burnham sort of backtracking on his support for trans people in single-sex spaces recently, which has been concerning because, again, I'm, no real need to do that in my view. I don't know. I'm trying to be hopeful because of what I've seen him do previously. But, I do fear that he is also going to attempt, that same rightward shift, especially with, him mentioning, with Streeting's allyship and all the stuff that we've had with him. I do fear that this Labour government is still going to try and placate reform voters again when it really isn't in their best interests.
Thank you, Will. And let's pick up on something that Will spoke about there, which is the kind of nature of Starmer's victory in 2024. Because I think there's many different ways to interpret that. Obviously, there was a real mood in the country against the Conservatives. And I think it is fair to say that most Labour leaders, maybe even including Jeremy Corbyn, could have won in 2024. Now, what Starmer did in his resignation speech, he used an interesting phrase which caused a lot of offence to Labour MPs. He said that the party he inherited in 2020 when he became Labour leader was morally and financially bankrupt. Now, Starmer's entire reason after he became leader and after Corbyn was expelled from the Labour Party, his argument was that he changed the Labour Party by getting rid of anti-Semitism and putting it back on a more, as he would say, sane and coherent political footing. Now, obviously, people can disagree with that, but that's the argument that Starmer made. In 2024, he did not, in his manifesto was purposefully thin. So although he spoke about a decade of national renewal, it was not always clear what his intention was when it came to actually implementing that. And it is the case that Starmer will be remembered for winning a landslide election, albeit on a very narrow basis, and his premiership was not devoid of achievement. The problem is it quickly became overshadowed by perception, and in politics perception becomes reality, and everything stemmed not only from the lack of preparation that accompanied their return to government, but it also came from the number of U-turns, fair or unfair. Starmer had a reputation for not sticking to his guns, and the accompanied by that was the original sin of the Winter Fuel paintings, which became this totemic, really kind of chain around the neck of all of the Labour politicians when it came to the public perception. And then of course they released prisoners early under Shaban and the new justice plans, inheritance tax for farmers as well, that caused uproar. So domestically it's hard to see how Starmer can justify much of a domestic record, because so many of his decisions have been either unpopular or he U-turned on. So in spite of that, that is really why Keir Starmer has resigned. Unlike the previous Conservative Prime Ministers, who either resigned because they could not deliver on their primary objectives, so that was Theresa May with Brexit. With Boris Johnson, obviously, he resigned, mainly because of personal questions of morality and scandal that accompanied him. Liz Truss is obviously a case into herself, and then Sunak resigned because of the general election defeat. Starmer is kind of a case unto himself because he did not suffer a great scandal. Obviously, there was the Fuhrer, Overlord, Ali, and the clothes. I don't think that was on the level of Watergate, but at the same time, it did tarnish his reputation, particularly because he was so keen to attack the Conservatives for sleaze when he was leader of the opposition. The reason why Starmer is resigning is basically because he just wasn't really up for the job. He did not have a coherent political narrative, which the best leaders do. So whether you agree or disagree, people like Margaret Thatcher and Tony Blair, and even I would include David Cameron in that category, because Cameron had a strategy and he delivered it, again, irrespective of whether you agree or disagree. Starmer lacked all that. He lacked communication skills and he lacked the coherent vision to kind of sell the country what he was doing, and he never connected to the public on a personal level. Now, partly that was for reasons outside his control. He can't help the fact that his personality just is not suited for modern politics. But I think at the end of the day, history will look on Keir Starmer as having a big opportunity in 2024, and he by and large squandered that in less than 2 years, and he handed over to someone almost certain to Andy Burnham, who, better communicator, probably has a more coherent vision for the country, and who can probably deliver the change that Starmer couldn't, or potentially wouldn't, because a lot of the resignation letters, particularly by Jess Phillips, criticise the Prime Minister for not wanting to make an argument, not wanting to have an argument. I think Andy Burnham will be a lot different. However, I think that's quite enough from me. We're going to end proceedings now with a commentary from our head of news, Ellen. And I asked Ellen not only about the chain of Prime Ministers since 2016, but I also asked her what a future Andy Burnham premiership will look like. And here is what she said.
Since 2016, there have been 6 Prime Ministers, with Andy Burnham becoming the 7th if he is elected. I think this rhetoric is kind of, because of the increasing divisiveness, started off with the Brexit vote, of course engineered by Nigel Farage. But in turn, that kind of split down the middle of politics, that kind of factionalisation, the increased polarisation has stemmed from that. And there is kind of this appetite amongst the public now that rapid change is what we need. And I've seen it compared to football managers, that actually when something's not going right, blame the manager, sack them and move on. And it is leading to these questions about whether the country is becoming ungovernable? Is it even possible to have a leader now? Or are we in a new era of politics where actually you've got to step up and you've got to take responsibility for all the mistakes of your party, and whether that be right or wrong, you've got to move on. We'll have to see kind of how this moves on into Burnham. He is kind of a new age prime minister, I would define it as, perhaps. He looks at things a different way. He's come from a different background than a lot of the previous prime ministers, coming from a mayoralty. He seems to have slightly more charisma and slightly more, it's like more of something about him. It's hard to put your finger on exactly what, but compared to Keir Starmer, he's definitely a change, and whether that's what's needed or not, we're yet to find out. I think Starmer, he wasn't a malicious guy, and actually when he was coming in 2024, I was quite optimistic about his tenure. Unlike what other people might say, I don't think he's the worst PM we've ever had. In fact, he's very, very far from one of the worst prime ministers we've ever had. He's been positive on international relations, he's been positive on workers' rights, and, you know, widely regarded as doing well for the Online Safety Act. But I think the culmination of kind of Winterfuel, two-child benefit, and then the Mandelson scandal made it quite difficult for him to continue. And eventually, the amount of MPs behind him left him, unfortunately, with no choice. And he had to kind of take that. He took that bigger person step and resigned before Andy Burnham could challenge him formally. So I guess he's going out with his head held high. Will Burnham be different? Well, it is hard to know at the moment. He's pledged to stick to the manifesto commitments. So in that sense, the policy changes might not be that different, but the communication style of the party, I think, does need looking at. If anything, he's going to revitalise the Labour Party. A lot of Labour MPs are behind him, front benchers and back benchers. I think a key indicator will be the Chancellor. Who's it going to be? That will kind of give us some direction. Of course, it's pleasure to stick by the fiscal rules laid out in 2024. But obviously, of the key players, that's Ed Miliband, Siobhana Mahmood and Wes Streeting to be Chancellor. That'll give us a direction and the kind of first indication of the way that a Burnham government would look. International relations is where he's been more questioned. I can't necessarily see him standing in front of Trump right now, but I think it's yet to be seen. And if it is a new age of prime ministers, I think Burnham's a good person to kind of step up to the plate and give it a good go. Using social media, engaging with local communities, especially in the north. At the moment, he's got wide support, but so did Keir Starmer when he came in. So, all that's to say is, look, it's yet to be seen.
Well, thank you, Ellen. Thank you to Luna and Will as well for their analysis. That concludes proceedings today. Now, I encourage you all to reflect on what has been said. We have had an unusual turnover of prime ministers since 2016. However, this is not historically unusual. Perhaps in another podcast we can explain why the 1760s was such a tumultuous period. But assuming that there's not a demand for that, we will see you in September. Well, when we return with NewsHour, no doubt there'll be a lot to talk about. However, until then, you can keep up with the news. A lot will be happening. So I hope you all have a great summer. And now, farewell.